Hey, buddy, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. I'm joined by the original Beef Stroganoff, Rich Stambolian.
Is it Stroganoff or Stroganoff? I thought it was Stroganoff.
You're Stroganoff. I made you into a Russian heel.
Was that the guy who was supposed to fight Rocky, but then he took a look at Ivan Drago and was
You know how Rich and I have been 20-year friends? The fact that he knew exactly what I was talking about. That's exactly
where I went with this.
What's going on, man?
I don't exist. You made me up.
I made you up in the coma.
It's 1956. You're on the run from the government. What's going on? Not much, man. How was your Thanksgiving? Was it weird?
Yeah, it was a little weird, dude. Not great. I got to tell you that. MG Geek is messaging me right now telling me that my video quality on YouTube is not good. And I'm looking at it. It's freaking stellar. Our video is stellar. So his computer's broken right now.
Yeah, isn't he coming to you live from like a 1992 Linux computer?
Pluto. That's where he lives.
This guy's on Jupiter right now?
Yeah. No, man, it was good. You know, I had like 14 people here. I don't know why I'm whispering like Cuomo's going to hear me say it. But I had like 14 people. He's a big fan of Matt, man. He's a Queens boy. It was weird, you know. It was like, okay, we're done. Let's go. Though normally, it's like going to like 1 in the morning, my Thanksgivings.
Right.
So what'd you end up doing?
Nothing, man. Like we cooked for the first time. We canceled going anywhere. Nobody came over. My brother was supposed to come over, but unfortunately he did not get his COVID test in time. So, you know, and he's traveling too. So we were like, yo, stay home.
Is that what you did? You made sure everybody had the test?
Yeah, dude. You know, we got it. We were like, if you're going to come, get tested and then try to isolate yourself before. Because, you know, our folks are older. You know, they're in their 70s. So they're very at risk, you know?
Yeah.
So it was just like we made turkey for the first time. It came out awesome. And it was my wife and I and then my folks. And that's it, you know. But I checked in with everybody and everybody seemed to be having like a two-person Thanksgiving. Just them and their significant other, you know.
Listen, dude, here's the good news. We're almost at the end of this. So that's the positive here. But you know what we are going to do? Talk about very sweaty men and women grappling each other. The show's all about professional wrestling. We're recording this on a Sunday. Normally we do this throughout the week, but you know, it was a holiday week and everything was ridiculous and it was all over the place. So we're doing this on a Sunday. We're also live on Instagram for the first time with the show. We've never done the show live on Instagram like this. We got a great piece of software, a great piece of technology here that we were able to implement the live feed and do the show on Instagram. So I think this is something we're going to continue doing at least every now and then. You know, it's pretty cool to be able to do this and do our Q&As with the Instagram audience. It's something that you really don't see done this way. A live podcast produced like this going over Instagram Live. So thank you to everybody in that chat room. But we do have a lot of professional wrestling to talk about. Interesting week. Obviously, it's a holiday week, so it's generally a non-event week. But, you know, AEW did a good job leading up to next week's Winter is Coming. Special on TNT, big world title match for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship between Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley. WWE did a good job on Friday with the Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens segment. Pretty much the only thing that I really like from Friday Night SmackDown was that. Looks like he's going to be the opponent at TLC and, of course, everything else that's happening. But I want to know, Rich, what did you like the most this week?
I got to say, like, wrestling show wise, I enjoyed AEW the most. Raw was pretty solid. SmackDown was pretty decent. As far as what I enjoyed personally, I think Roman is reaching some kind of astronomical new level of being this insane bad guy monster, you know, which I'm really, really enjoying.
Yeah. No, I do enjoy that. What do you think? I wanted to, because today was such a weird week, and it's old news if we talk about Raw, but I want to talk about wrestling heading into the new year, right? Very strange year. I think a lot of things were going to play out differently this year. I think everybody in the chat room, you know, we have about 150 people watching. We have live right now between all our services that we're on, but I think everybody could agree that the fallout from every company in the world, you know, between, I think essentially nobody benefited from this at all. I think AEW was able to do the best out of everybody because they're new and they were able to adapt quicker. And they had that venue. You know, they had Daily's Place, which is a tremendous venue that they've been using. You know what's really fun? Do you remember when they first did that show over there? We were saying how bad that venue looked because it was facing a wall.
They immediately changed that, huh?
Yeah, yeah, and they ended up fixing that, so that's always great. But I was thinking about, because it's the end of the year, right? And a schedule gets kind of wacky during the holidays, but I wanted to talk about this today. Right. What are the things, we'll talk about the things that didn't happen, right? Because it was a lot that was supposed to happen. Okay. But what were the things that did happen exclusively because of the pandemic that ended up working out? I would say Roman, right?
Roman, immediately the first thing that popped into my mind is the Boneyard match. The Boneyard match worked out perfectly because now this guy could retire. He's got like a nice little bookend to his career doing the AJ Styles match. And I think for WWE, it was a little harder to kind of get that traction going than AEW. AEW had a lot of stellar moments, and they really didn't let the pandemic stop them from creating excellent wrestling on television.
Yeah, but here's the thing, right? What would that match have looked like? Like an actual AJ Styles and an Undertaker match, you know, if it wasn't a Boneyard match. Would it have been? I think it would have been. Listen, if there was any opponent for the Undertaker that'll make him look like $1 million, it's AJ Styles. That's the one that would be able to do this. But I agree with you. I think they both benefited from a stellar, you know, a highly produced match. And I think that kind of that's going to be the big story going into the future of wrestling in 2021, 22, 23, where you're going to see these type of matches happen every so often. And we're going to look back and say, wow, you know what? This works with guys that normally wouldn't have a high caliber match in the ring.
Absolutely.
You know, this is going back to remember the whole wrestle opera stuff they were talking about in the 90s. Vince Russo allegedly had an idea of taking wrestling out of the ring, having no ropes, and having it presented more like a film. You know, think about it. That's 20-something years ago.
Right. And I think it still bucks the tradition. You know, like if you want to have wrestling, it quote-unquote has to be in a ring. But, you know, because you get such cool stuff like the Hardy Compound stuff, all the Ultimate Deletions or whatever they're called, and then WWE kind of picking up on doing those cinematic matches, it becomes more fun. And the one cinematic match that we really never talk about was that ladder match that happened at Titan Towers, or Titan Tower, because it's just one building.
It is Titan Towers, right?
It is Titan Towers with an S, but it's just one place.
It's one place. It's Vince's place. Nobody talks about that one, right?
And but that it was a lot of fun. Yeah. It worked big time. And Rey Mysterio got thrown off the building, right?
And died, yeah. And then he lost an eye the following couple of weeks later. That poor guy. They blinded
him. Rough 2020.
He's at the roughest 2020. So, you're right. I think that's something that we got to see, right? And we benefited from. But think of all those matches. Like, I think Drew's run was cheated, for sure.
Yes and no.
I 100% think so, and I'll tell you why. And you tell me why, if you feel like he benefited. But he came off. I rewatched Royal Rumble 2 days ago from last year, or this year. It feels like it was like 2 years ago. And I've never seen them position somebody so well so quickly in one match. Right? I honestly, and people get pissed off when I say this. That Royal Rumble next to 92 and 2001 is probably the best Royal Rumble.
Great Rumble, dude.
It's up there in the top Royal Rumbles, and I'm going to tell you why. Think of the positioning and how they created Drew and that Brock Lesnar elimination, and I absolutely loved it. When I'm looking online throughout that, we were watching a pay-per-view together. We had a whole bunch of people, and people are angry that Brock Lesnar is throwing one after the other out of that ring. The entire thing was set up for Drew to become the Kingmaker.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
And Edge's return.
But they did a good job of keeping everybody separate with that.
It looked great, too.
Oh, it did. It looked unbelievable. Now you got that big monster match, right? Who's the guy that's going to dethrone Brock Lesnar? And now you have Drew, and everything fell apart from there, and they ended up having that match in the Performance Center. It was a nothing match. No audience, yeah. Nothing in that tiny venue, quiet, hollow. It was over.
That's a good word. That's a good word. Hollow, hollow? Is a great word to describe
hollow.
It. No, no, that's you're 100% right.
Like WWE's creative. Hollow.
Ooh. I'll agree to disagree. I think it was a perfect setup. Drew still moving forward full steam ahead and regaining the championship. It tells you more about the guy than the belt, you know, because they built him up. Looks great. Dude looks like a champion. Promos are getting better. He's becoming more loose, right? He's kind of like I consider him like a very, not an old school champion, but like we haven't seen somebody carry himself like Drew in a while. And I'm going to use Jinder as another example where he had that belt for a very long time. And then when he lost it, he went to Gonsville, right? Yeah. Drew, on the other hand, he's still in the main event picture, and this guy had a rockin' champion versus champion match with Roman.
Very underrated. I think that's going to be a very underrated match in history of that title. Of two champions facing each other.
They were both at the height of their game with those characters that they're doing now, and it was such a brawl. It was great. You know, that I feel like that's going to go down as kind of like a modern WWE classic, you know?
Yeah.
And it sends a message to everybody in the back, like, and everybody watching, like, hey, listen, don't count us out yet. You know, we can still put on good stuff. And between both characters headlining both shows, I think they're moving in the right direction, at least with the main event picture, you know? So I think that's kind of why I personally feel like, right, Drew doesn't have a crowd. He didn't have a crowd for all this stuff, but he's such a big presence that he's doing all the cool stuff anyway that he needs to do. Same thing with Roman and Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. No, I think Bray, I want to, you know what we should do? Let's start off. Let's organize this because there's so much to talk about. And I do want the participation from the chat, right? Because I'm curious. Yeah. People that benefited from this, definitely, I think a lot of the concentration went on Bray because he's more of a television production.
Yes.
And they really needed to heighten those effects where you have a guy, it's not about the match, it's about the entrance and the presentation and the ballyhoo. And they had that with him. And I think that the storyline with Alexa Bliss, phenomenal. I think Roman's heel turn, phenomenal. Great. Great job with that. Drew's title reign suffered from this because it would have been very different. Becky Lynch's announcement, you know, Becky Lynch being out of the picture this year, Charlotte being out of the picture this year, Ronda Rousey being out this year, obviously. You know, these are things that hindered the product. Goldberg?
What about
we have to talk about Goldberg in the early? Crown Wolf in our chat room goes, didn't Goldberg win the title or this year, or am I dreaming?
Oh, you know what? That's a good question. No.
Yes.
Braun had, wait, did he win it this year or did he have it already?
He had it.
He had it going into the Rumble because Braun took it on Mania, right?
Isn't that funny that we do not remember this?
Because nobody gives a shit. Sorry, Goldberg, he
won the Universal title.
Right. Who did he take that title from?
He took it from Bray.
Ah, that's right. He beat the Fiend. Okay.
Yeah, at Saudi Arabia.
That's another thing that nobody's really talking about is because of the pandemic, their weirdo Saudi Arabia stuff doesn't factor in to what they're doing now anymore.
Oh my God, you know? The weirdo Saudi Arabia stuff. I mean, Bill Goldberg. So, I mean, look at this, right? Early in the year, Bill Goldberg got the title in Saudi Arabia in February. That was the last show they had, major event they had with a live audience. And the following month was WrestleMania. And Braun beat him.
Yeah. He's a dude that got hurt by the pandemic 100%.
Oh, Braun. 100%. Yeah. Because, again, he's a live audience guy.
Definitely.
If we're talking promotions, who do you think did the best? You think AEW did the best in the pandemic?
Absolutely. I think they did the best because they had so much positive reinforcement in play as far as like, hey, listen, we can't travel and do house shows, but we have Daily's Place. You know, we have these resources that are accessible to us. We have an outdoor venue. We're doing stringent COVID testing. Do you remember like the first couple of weeks during the live Raws and SmackDowns where like it seemed like everybody was testing positive and they kept pulling people and pulling people and pulling people.
Yeah.
I definitely think AEW made the most of their situation, and plus they had to because they were still the new show. So they had to deliver for the network. They had to deliver for each other. They took a gamble on themselves, and I think it definitely paid off for them. Their numbers during the pandemic were pretty decent, right?
Who's
You're
this?
More of a numbers AEW? Guy than I am, clearly. Yeah.
I am a numbers guy. AEW's numbers?
Yeah.
So it's hard to tell, right? Because they were still – they were on their way to being a million viewer live production a week. They were on their way there. So they definitely took a hit. They took about a 20 to 25% hit in their numbers. But it's hard to know because it's still so early, right? You don't know the trajectory. You could do forecasting. And by the way, this is what I do. I forecast for a living, essentially. I forecast business strategy. And I forecast marketing and how successful it will be in your ROI. Like that is – I'm a numbers guy. And I would tell you that probably
–
I am, yeah, and I love that stuff, dude. I love to look at numbers. I gotta tell you, if I were to guess right now, and again, I'm not saying I'm accurate with this. I'm just saying if I were to forecast this, I would say AEW would have probably been around 1.1 million regular viewers.
Okay.
Weekly, that would have been a pretty decent average for them. They probably would have hit 1.4, 1.5 for a big time match, and that would have had to be a really big time. Like, example, Kenny Omega title match with Jon Moxley. That sure. should. I don't think it's going to do 1.3 million next week. I'm just saying that.
Okay.
But if the pandemic had not happened, that match probably would have had way more hype because they would have been a live audience. They would have been building that audience better. You know, everything got crazy, but also you don't know this presidential election also was a freaking circus. So that played a huge part. I think people need to understand that there was way more than if we're talking numbers and product wise, way more happened this year. I mean, obviously the pandemic is a huge thing, but, you're talking about, you know, the wackiness of this presidential election, the news networks exploding with viewership. You have unknown news networks that would average 75,000 viewers a show now getting in the 700,000 range.
Right.
So people's interests really got kind of refocused. And we're now in a very different world. And I think
Absolutely.
For wrestling, I think because we tend to not want to talk about everything else that's happening, but this plays a part in wrestling. I think for wrestling, the big picture would have been, the big conversation would have been, okay, NXT is getting around 650 to 750,000 viewers a week. And that is preventing AEW from being over that million, you know, 1 million, 1.1 million range. And the big story would be, okay, this is their block. This is WWE's defensive move. Cuz remember, NXT is not an offensive product. It's a defensive product for WWE. Okay. That is the purpose. I mean, I recently had a conversation with someone over at one of the networks, and that's exactly how they were. The network that NXT's on. I don't need to be vague, right? They were pretty clear that this is a defensive measure by WWE to prevent that 200,000 to 300,000 viewers that would go over, and that's their perception that would go over to AEW.
I think there's also like there's probably a misperception of what AEW, what their content was going to be, because I think there was probably a fear from fans where remember when NXT got really like to the meat of it, people were saying like, oh, it's Ring of Honor Lite or it's Ring of Honor 2.0.
Oh, early on. Yeah.
Early on. Right. And I think that may have been the perception within the WWE offices saying, you know what, we don't got much to worry about. We have an A show, we got a B show, we got NXT. What's AEW going to do? It's going to be Best of the Super Juniors like every day. Come on. And I think they really underestimated how well the product was going to do. you know, especially being backed by, you know, such a big company. And TNT has, I feel like this is not even the tip of the iceberg for what they could do. You know, once you get live crowds back, forget it. And then once you get the ball rolling with all the multimedia stuff that they could do with the company, I think it's going to be an interesting ride, like going into the next couple of years, you know? And I said before, they delivered huge, huge wrestling moments during a pandemic. They didn't skimp on the awesome stuff. The only thing that people were looking forward to, that fans were looking forward to, that they didn't do was that giant cage match because everything got shut down.
Oh, you're talking the blood and guts match, right?
Yeah.
I want to remind everybody, we're doing a year in review episode today. Obviously, there's a lot of news. I want to talk about the Royal Rumble story, what I'm hearing also, and the plans for Royal Rumble this year. And the plans for a live audience this year in WrestleMania, because I have a bunch of tidbits here, little information that's coming in, which I want to talk about. But I want to remind everybody, if you really enjoy the show, the best way you can support us is by subscribing to us on YouTube, youtube.com/MattManPodcast. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, hit that freaking bell, which I hate saying, because YTube generally doesn't propagate this kind of content to the front page. People are telling me that they're not getting the reminders that we're live. So hit all the buttons. Also, you can subscribe to us. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Google Podcasts. We're everywhere. Pandora, iHeartRadio. We're everywhere podcasts are available. So whatever your podcast listening app is, we're there. Subscribe. And subscribe on everything. Load your phone up. All I want to see on your phone, I want gigabytes and gigabytes of Matt Men on there. That's all I want.
Pictures of us, videos of us.
Forget
audio.
About even subscribing. Dude, forget it. Just download photos of us.
Join our OnlyFans.
Join the OnlyFans. We need to make one. We need one of every. I'm 2 days away from it.
It's just us in cosplay.
That's it.
But each week we choose, like Andrew chooses one cosplay 1 week, I choose one another week. So Andrew will be like, yo, this week Pokemon. I'll be like, all right, man, I'll be Squirtle.
He-Man.
Oh, who do you want to be? You want to be He-Man?
No, I want to be Skeletor.
All right, I'll be. I don't want to be He-Man. Can I be Man at Arms?
Was She-Ra in He-Man?
Yeah,
yeah. I want to be She-Ra. You be Skeletor.
Sure, I'll be Skeletor.
Perfect.
Can I be Grizzlor?
One of the best insults I ever heard was from one girl, two coworkers of mine that do not get along, and obviously I work in nightlife, and one turned to the other one and said, "Skeletor looking B-word." And I laughed so hard, I almost fell out of my chair. It was hysterical to hear someone say that.
It's
very much,
you know,
great insult.
That's a great insult. That's also one of my favorite insults, is to call somebody a bag of bones. So it's kind of the same thing.
The dusty old bones filled with green dust. Subscribe to us wherever our podcasts are available, and all that good stuff. So let's continue with this conversation. I don't know. I you know, you're talking about defensive measures, you're talking about blocking AEW. I think the big story 2021 is going to be, where do we go from here, right? We saw the year's almost over. I cannot believe this year does not exist. I mean, I'm going to erase this year from history in my mind.
It's December, dude.
I know. It's November 29th right now. We're into December already. Mm-hmm. And then we're going into the new year. So let's talk about 2021 and what to expect. There's a lot of information starting to slowly trickle down for Royal Rumble. We're hearing that. I spoke to a friend of mine, and I heard this for a long time, and I just want to say this is not the plan, but this is pitched regularly. A friend of mine confirmed this with me, that nearly every WrestleMania, they want to have a fluke win. Somebody pitches a fluke win.
Ah, okay.
Like, they don't even do anything and they win. And it's kind of looking like Lana, maybe that could work for Lana this year.
Sure.
And God, I hope they don't do that.
Why? But why? Tell me why.
Two people in the ring. She's number 30. She comes out. She doesn't even get into the ring, and the two have eliminated themselves.
Okay.
Can you see that happening?
Like the Survivor Series. Like exactly like what happened at Survivor Series.
Exactly to happen in Survivor Series.
Yeah, you know what? I think she I think she should get one run with the belt and not do anything.
No, no, come on.
Why?
No.
Why not?
I don't want to see it.
Why? Do you think because she's too much of a quote-unquote diva? Like, it brings you back to, like, the butterfly belt?
I think they've treated her like such... No, I like her. I think that they've handled her so poorly in every possible way. And you got to look at the character development, right? The Ravishing Russian was over.
Oh, absolutely.
That act worked. And then they did 100%. That weird split with her and Rusev, and she went with Dolph. And I told you, the gimmick should have been that she knocks her head. I had the best. I don't know why they didn't do this. I even wrote to my friend there, and I'm like, this is what you got to do with her. Have her bump her head every week and become a different person.
That would have been amazing. Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Okay. You think this is the trend that because WWE hates tag teams so much, apart from the New Day, that they will split up anybody who is with a valet or anybody who is working well with a partner? Rusev was over with Lana as the Ravishing Russian, right?
There was no reason to break them. No reason.
No
at
reason
all.
To break them up.
No.
And they've done that. Fandango. Am I thinking of Fandango and Summer Rae?
Fandango and Summer Rae were an act. Yeah, they were an act together.
Ziggler and AJ Lee.
Ziggler and AJ.
Like, they will split up anybody. Zelina and Andrade. Well, she left, so that's kind of a split, right? They fired her.
No, but they had already split her. Listen, they have so much talent on that roster, and this is the thing that I never understand, right? You have this abundant amount of talent. You don't have missing pieces where you need to take someone that's a valet or a manager and turn them into a wrestler. You don't need to do that because you have such talent, high quality. Right now the ratings are not great, but this is probably the most talented roster this company has ever had as far as athleticism and characters. Great 100%. Group. Now, why would you take Zelina that's working out as a class A valet manager, right?
Right.
Top notch. Why would you say, hey, you know what? This is working, but we want to take your weakness and expose it.
Right. It's that weird WWE mentality, right?
She's not a bad wrestler. I'm not saying that she's a bad wrestler. What I'm saying is she's a way better manager and a mouthpiece.
100%.
Than a wrestler. And why would you take that and inject that and be like, okay, we're going to take this away and we're going to make you a wrestler and we're going to split the team. Listen, obviously it has to do with the fact that WWE is very vindictive. And if you do something they don't like, they're going to make it difficult for you.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
There's a lot of stuff that happens backstage that we don't go into that causes these things.
Right.
You know, a lot of it is also that Paul Heyman loved her. Paul Heyman, her, Andrade.
Aleister.
Aleister. You know, it was even discussed that Aleister Black would have possibly been Undertaker's opponent.
Ricochet.
There was another discussion, Ricochet, another one. There was another discussion that Aleister Black would have been possibly going up against Brock Lesnar.
So, and beating Brock.
That was a pitched idea by Paul Heyman. So when they see that, they're like, oh, you know what? Let's ruin it. Aleister Black had one of the greatest gimmicks to come out to the ring. I mean, it's a great gimmick. And they're like, no, sorry. It worked. It works really great, but we're going to turn you into a blinded, angry pirate.
It's so bizarre, isn't it? I feel like he'll be better off gone and going to AEW. I'll play that game for 2 seconds.
Oh no, I think he would definitely benefit.
Who would you like to see in AEW? Aleister Black for sure. And you know what? Daniel Bryan. That's choice number two.
I would say who would benefit on that WWE roster? It would be Aleister Black and Ricochet. Those two would benefit very much so by leaving.
Okay.
I guaranteed benefit, but guaranteed. Like, I'm not even saying like, oh, maybe they might do good. Like a Zack Ryder, didn't matter where he goes. He's not going to become this overnight sensation, but an Aleister Black showing up could be done really well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Especially with that roster, you know, like he would gel very well with that roster.
I got a chuckle. Dave D in our YouTube chat goes, Aleister Black is going to be packing meat in Hoboken in 3 months.
Oh no. That can mean a lot of things.
That can mean so much, depending on which bar you're in, which restaurant you're in. So, listen, so we're leading up into January.
Yeah.
We got Royal Rumble plans happening.
Two months.
they have skipped on this on the Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns match for TLC, which I'm glad. I'm very happy they're passing that, and they're going to do that at Royal Rumble. So now the conversation happens. Is it possible that Daniel Bryan takes the title off of him?
Oh, are you asking me or are you telling me?
No, I'm asking you. Well, it was a question for everybody in the chat, everyone that's watching. Is it possible for, because I have, if I were to, and I'm not saying this is what's going to happen, this is how I would do it. I'm going to explain it, but I want to know your opinion. Do you think they would go in that direction at Royal Rumble for Roman to drop the Universal title to Daniel Bryan?
No. I think the direction they will go in is Roman beating the snot out of Daniel Bryan.
Okay. So now, let's put The Rock into this factor, right? The Rock is going to wrestle Roman Reigns if it's in front of a live audience.
Right.
That's how they're going to do this. I don't know who's yelling.
Somebody yelling over there?
Somebody's yelling outside. I don't know who.
Is it a fan?
Let's see.
Do they know you're live right now?
No. People are yelling. I don't know what's going on. So, I don't know. I'm looking outside. I'm like, why are people yelling outside? So, let's look at it this way, right? Okay, so does Roman hold a title and go up against The Rock at WrestleMania?
Yeah, I think Roman goes into that match with The Rock as champ.
Okay. Why? Is it necessary? I'm leading you down a road that I kind of have an idea of what they should do.
I do think it's, I think for him to be the quote unquote head of the table and the chief of the tribe and whatever else he's calling himself, I think he needs that belt to cement that weird position that they're giving him. You know,
okay.
He's the Brock Lesnar that's on TV right now, right?
Yes,
he's
he is.
Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
He's cutting these mean promos. He's beating up his family. Nobody can stop him and he's a bastard too, right? So like, you know, like last night was 2 nights ago on SmackDown. He chewed out Jey Uso for coming to the ring and helping him beat Drew McIntyre, right? So he's kind of a dick. He's the big man on campus. That's another weird analogy you can use. You know, he's the quarterback.
King of the cat. He's the king of the
king of the castle. King of the castle. I think he needs that belt because that's like his precious, and I think they're going that route. Would he beat The Rock at WrestleMania? I think so. I think this would be like Rock doing the honors in his last like match and putting Roman over, and then somebody else takes it from Roman next year. Finn Balor.
Okay. So let me lay out what I would like. Head of the table.
Sure. Yeah. You've been waiting for this.
Okay.
Go ahead.
What I would do is I would have him lose the Universal title to Daniel Bryan because nobody came to help him. His family didn't come to help him. So the next day, he starts the next show, he starts chewing them out, and here comes The Rock.
Okay.
And that's how, because he starts beating up on his family and cuts this crazy freaking, I'm the best in this family. Nobody's ever been able to touch me. All this stuff, right? And here comes The Rock, and now you've said it. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Who are you to be the chief? You know, there's only one chief in this family. No, there's only one chief in this family. That's my grandfather. That's our grandfather, whatever. That's your great uncle. It's High Chief Peter Maivia. Who are you? The lineage of this family, blah, 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 blah. And now you've set it up, right?
Sure.
And then in that match, I want them to do all the moves. Like, I want The Rock to attempt a bonsai drop.
Like all the moves,
all the Samoan moves. Like I want a bonsai drop. I just want 500 Samoa. I want headbutts, tons of headbutts that everybody no sells.
Oh, so good.
You know, like I want to see all.
You know
how
they're going to do it, right? Not to. It's going to be the first introduction to The Rock is going to be live or taped via satellite. And it's because of the age we're living in. It's not going to be you hear the music and The Rock cuts a promo to an empty audience. It's going to be him interrupting Roman on like a taped cell phone message or something.
It's possible. They could do it that way, too. I'm okay with that.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I get it. Listen, I would prefer him in the studio. In the ring, but I guess that's what we're going to do. No, but I think they're going to do this. I really feel this direction, but then who becomes Daniel Bryan's opponent at WrestleMania?
Sami Zayn.
For the title? Who do you think wins the Rumble this year? That's a better question. Because now Daniel Bryan is not in that match. Daniel Bryan is not in the Rumble match. Again, this guy is never getting profiled in that match to win it.
No, it's never. It's so interesting. Ever since 2014, he will never ever win the Royal Rumble.
Have you ever been, watching a wrestling match, Daniel Bryan being eliminated, and Goldust coming out the shattered dreams, has there ever been a moment that all the energy has been sucked out of you?
No, I think that was worst case scenario, wasn't it? Like, I still feel bad for Rey Mysterio because he had to come out at number 30, right?
Was that the year? No.
That was the year. Yeah. That was the year. That was definitely the year. Rey had to come out at number 30 and people were just like booing the shit out of him.
But what did they think? Daniel Bryan was going to return somehow?
I think so. I remember, yeah,
who did they think was coming out? I'm curious. I forgot.
I think they were gonna, people were hoping that it was some kind of weird fluke that Daniel Bryan could come back out again, but he ended up, you know, having that amazing WrestleMania moment that year. I don't know, man, I want to think about this for 2 seconds, but do you have a name in mind to win the Royal Rumble?
I don't. And it's weird. I really don't have a name. Like, are you going? This is why I think that Roman dropping the title to Daniel Bryan opens up another interesting match. Maybe Edge. Edge wins the Rumble. That's a good one. Transferring Heat podcast. There you go. That's the name. That's the name I'm going with. Edge wins the Rumble, and now you've set up a. Well, does he challenge Randy? Does Randy get the belt back?
I see that you're getting into murky waters. How about Bray Wyatt? Bray Wyatt or The Fiend win the Rumble, because they're elevating him to that position, right?
Fiend could win the Rumble, challenging. Well, The Fiend's a babyface now. You got to remember that. So he's not going to face a Daniel Bryan. He's not going to face, I don't know. I honestly, I'm happily saying I don't know, because that means that it's not predictable.
Right.
You know, right now you're going to have two blockbuster matches. You're going to have Edge and Orton. And you're going to have potentially Rock and Roman, right? Two blockbuster matches. So now, the big story is that this is a reset year, right? This is going to be a big reset year where they want to bring out everybody. Once they have a live audience, they're going to have a very much an uphill battle to build that audience. I think people need to remember that this is not going away, right? Like, we're going to get back to normal, but what's normal? Are you going to feel comfortable in June? Rich, great question. WWE's at the Garden, right? September, they're going to be back at the Garden. 100%. They're going to be back at the Garden in September if everything goes well. Do you feel comfortable in September? Right now, if I'm asking this, would you feel comfortable in September to be in that building with 17,000 people, 15,000 people?
Probably not.
Probably not, right?
No, probably not. How about you?
Yeah, 100% I would.
I
would feel comfortable. Yeah. But I'm not. I think my thought philosophy is not the normal. I think most people are going to say, do I want to take my two kids, take the subway, go into Manhattan? There's just so many different factors here when it comes to this.
Oh, that's right. Then you'll turn around and be like, I got to take a car service and get a suite by myself. And you'll use the secret elevator.
And I will use the secret elevator. So I know people, like, I would know somebody at the venue, no, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm not afraid of getting sick, and that's fine. I don't want to go into it, but I totally understand why somebody wouldn't want to go to it in September. And I'm not talking now. Like, if it's now, there's no way in hell I would go to a building with 10,000 people, 1,000 people. I don't want to be around that right now. But, you know, in September, different story. But there's going to be many people. They're going to be financially not in the positioning to do this. They're going to be, you know, the health cautions are going to be playing a factor. Safety reasons in major cities. That's going to possibly play a factor. You know, there's a lot of this that's going to play a part. So WWE needs to have all hands on deck in order to draw an audience, a large audience. And how do you do that? With blockbuster names. So you got Edge. You got Daniel Bryan. I mean, that WrestleMania is going to be tremendous, whether or not they're in front of an audience.
At, do you think they're going to do 2 days again?
I don't know if they're going to do 2 days, but I know for a fact they're going to, every bone in their body, they're going to attempt to have a large audience there. Now, the problem is there's no there's going to be a problem with international travel. And a lot of that crowd is international travel.
Yeah, specifically for the day after WrestleMania, right?
Yeah. By the way, you know why I never go to WrestleMania? I go to all the events except WrestleMania. Because I don't want to be in a building with 70,000 people. I don't. And that, that's I've always been like that. I've always felt like that. I'll do NXT. I'll do all the freaking indies. I'll do all of it. I've been to WrestleMania. I've been to enough WrestleManias where I'm happy. I'm content. If I never go to another WrestleMania when it's in New York, I won't. It won't bother me.
Yeah.
So it's not a thing for me, but there's a lot of people that travel for this. I don't think in April people are going to want to travel to Florida.
Right. I feel like people don't want to travel to Florida to begin with.
You know where everybody loves to travel? No, I don't want to go to Florida. You know where everybody loves going to WrestleMania?
Where? New Orleans.
New Orleans. New Orleans.
Oh, it's the best.
I've never heard anybody say that they don't like New Orleans. Coco, our friend, he's been to the last two. Every time they're in New Orleans, he goes.
It's the best. It's the best place on earth.
It really is. It really is the best experience for wrestling. You got the big names. You got Edge back. You got Edge Orton WrestleMania. You got, let's say, Roman Rock. What else are you going to put on that card? Two separate title matches. You're going to have Daniel Bryan with a title. Let's say Daniel Bryan holds that title going in. Let's say I think Drew's going to drop it to Orton.
Okay. Or does Edge and... Okay. I mean, that would be cool. It would be cool to see Edge come back again, win the Rumble, face Randy Orton, beat Randy Orton at WrestleMania, and he gets his big WrestleMania moment. But do you think Edge would turn around and say, nah, man, like, I've had plenty of these. Like, let's give it to somebody else.
No.
And Randy and him won't be for the title. It would be for, like, you know what? I would like to see them in a Buried Alive match. Straight up.
Dude, that would be phenomenal. I would love that.
Right?
I would love that.
Old school Buried Alive match. They have, like, the mounds of dirt by the ring. You got a nice crowd going there, you know. Or even... go even crazier where it starts in the ring and then they cut to like this insane cinematic match and then it ends in the ring, you know, so they don't really have to do too much work. It keeps Edge protected. The guy doesn't have to like bust his shoulder up again or whatever it is, whatever happens. Yeah.
So, I don't know, but you know, you also have Brock Lesnar returning. Brock's going to come back also. So put him in the mix. Does Hunter have another match? Put that in the mix. Okay. Goldberg has another two matches left for him. Put that in the mix. I'm trying to think who else. Who else
so
they
I got
have?
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So with them thinking about opening up venues again, do you think Saudi Arabia is going to make it to the top of their list as soon as international travel gets opened up again?
Because they have the commitment, right? So they still have to make up those shows. They have a contract for it. So what they've done, they moved it to the end of their contract. So they're going to want to do that because it's a lot of money. It's a ton
it's a lot of money.
So I just bizarre, don't know. Listen, and there's a lot of, there's so many factors with that situation. We don't know what the international climate's going to be like geopolitically, if there's any problems in Saudi Arabia. God forbid there's an issue in the Middle East. You know, there's some sort of war. Are you gonna put these guys on a plane and send them to Saudi Arabia?
Right.
We don't know. There's so many. The next year is going to be a very interesting year when you look at how things are going to change. There's so many factors, but I just feel like right now WWE is going to be stacking that roster going into the new year. They're going to try everything to get fans. So the big news is the goal for WWE is that the night after WrestleMania is when they go back to traditional live events. Okay. That is what I'm hearing. So they would have to book. So if they're doing it in Tampa, they would probably book Amway, right? They would book the Amway Arena for Raw or whatever, Raw, SmackDown. I don't know how they would do it because it's going to be two, you know, separate dates. But they would book that venue most likely. run a show there, and then they're back to touring for Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and Raw and SmackDown, essentially.
Okay.
That's how they see this. That's what they want to do.
Oh, it's so weird, isn't it? Isn't it like, yeah. Are they, well, with the cutbacks that they made this year, and they're still doing cutbacks, right? Will the limited live shows make up for their lack of revenue, or do you think it would just kind of be even Steven at this point?
So the prior to the pandemic, they were starting to lose money on house shows. So okay. If you average their profits, I can't remember what it was. It was it was minute. The amount of money they were making was not that high compared to what they were. It was changing. And obviously, the last 2.5 years, we've heard WWE say they're going to change the way they do live events because they realize that the writing is on the wall. Why would you go to an event that you know nothing is happening, especially in small markets? So I think what they're going to end up doing is they're not killing the house show business, but however, they will cut back on it, and they'll run the big major ones. You know, they'll do like a Starrcade house show. They'll do the show at the Garden, the Christmas show at the Garden. They'll do a whatever show at the Staples Center. They'll run markets like that and start growing it back up. I cannot see them ever going back to the traveling schedule for three separate brands like they were doing. I think people forget NXT was traveling. They had house shows.
Oh, yeah.
So you had NXT doing house shows. You had Raw doing house shows. You had SmackDown doing house shows. And you had pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
That's gone. So do, you know, Monday Night Raw. You got Monday for Raw. You got Friday for SmackDown. And do like a super show on a Saturday. And you're good. You're done.
That's reasonable, right?
And
that's
the guys are working 100 and something dates. Everybody works 100, 120 dates or whatever.
There's so much gray area with this stuff too, especially because the whole third party thing with Twitch and the streaming kind of goes hand in hand with the house shows and the money to be made, right? Like, these guys aren't getting raises. Zelina's a good example of her. She was making more money doing Twitch streams than she was on her contract, right?
Yes and no, because of the downside guarantee, she was projected to make as much money doing her off WWE stuff as much as she's getting on her downside. So let's say your downside is, throwing a number, I don't know if this is a number, $150,000, right?
Okay.
That's the downside guarantee. But most of these guys make more money. They don't even care about the downside because the money they're making on the other side between house shows, merch sales, video games stuff, like the money they make on that is so much more. So maybe you'll make 150 grand, but you're making 400,000 from all your other avenues through WWE.
Right.
I don't know what's happening outside. Do you hear that?
I heard like a tweet.
Ugh. Some of the people are losing their minds. My kids are losing their minds.
Did zoo animals get loose?
Yes, pretty much. Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. Guys, let's do our Q&A segment. Submit your questions in the chat room. If you're watching live on Twitch, on Instagram, submit your questions there. If you're watching live on YouTube, submit your questions there. We'll do our best to answer them. I love the Q&As, and I feel like we're going to have a lot of questions today because of all the things that we laid out for the coming year. Which I find interesting. Is there anything you're really looking forward to 2021? Like one match?
If Rock and Roman happens, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward, as always, to Wrestle Kingdom. Because there's always like good stuff going on there. I think that, like, for now, that's it, because you can't really predict the future. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How about you?
I really want to see Roman and Rock.
Yeah.
I really want to see that match. I think it'll, you know, the hype for it is probably really high, and I think it will deliver, but I really want to see that match for some reason. All right, here we go. Bunch of questions here, right? Transfer and Heat says, I think they will try residence 3 months at a time and go work around baseball and basketball. I can tell you that they do not want to do a residence. They will never be able to draw a decent crowd regularly in one area, even when they do have a live audience. So they definitely want to go back to traveling to that extent and run, you know, different towns. And they'll probably do well in the beginning. Does Sasha keep the belt until Mania, and who takes it from her? Rich, I'm going to go to you.
That's a good question. Yeah, I think Sasha keeps the belt until Mania, and I think you finally see like one of the last for now Sasha versus Bayley matches. I think them being a co-headliner of Mania is kind of it should happen.
I think that could happen. We're also Ronda possibly coming back. You know, Charlotte, Ronda, they have a lot of options. I don't know. That's a good question, but I'll go with you. I would like to see that at WrestleMania.
Okay.
Do you want to read them?
Sure. What are you looking forward to more? Winter's coming or War Games?
Winter's coming. How about you?
Okay. Same here. Yeah. I think that's going to be fun. It's always interesting, I find, how wrestling will take something that was really in the forefront of pop culture like a year ago, and then make their own thing with it like a year later, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the Game of Thrones thing, I think, is funny because it's like, it's, you know, Game of Thrones is over. It's done.
Yeah. what was this? Do you think Miz cashes in? Does he fail or how do they do it? I have no idea how they're going to do this. I think him having that cash in, and you know, by the way, he didn't cash it in on that anniversary of his last cash in, so no idea. Who do you want to? Do you want to see him cash it in?
I think it's gonna be some kind of like weird screw move again, where he loses that briefcase to somebody else.
Dude, here it is. You ready?
Go ahead.
You ready? Roman
sigh.
Yeah, Roman drops the belt. Roman drops the belt to Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. Miz goes to cash in and gets the cash in, immediately wins, and now you've set up the match between Daniel Bryan and the Miz at WrestleMania for the Universal title.
You know what? I would love that. That's great, Andrew.
There you go. I'm going to commit to that. Go ahead. You cool. Go with the next one.
Taker has to be a lock for the Hall of Fame next year, but who else would be inducted?
Well, they're just going to redo last year's. Remember,
right?
Then so I can't see them. Yeah, I don't think they're gonna do anything this year. They're just gonna redo the last one, in some capacity. The goal was to do it at SummerSlam because they thought they'd be a live audience. They're not gonna. That didn't happen. So might as well just do that induction that you had last year.
Right. Transferring Heat podcast. What happened to Shaq?
What happened to Shaq?
Jade Cargill showed up on Dynamite a couple of weeks ago challenging Cody on behalf of Shaq.
And where is he?
Yeah, exactly. I think she was talking about Shake Shack.
Shake Shack. Oh, they want to have an old school eating contest. Got it.
I would love that. Listen, if it came to if you went to Wacky Wrestling and you wanted Shaq versus Cody in a Shake Shack eating contest, yeah, I'm all for it.
I'm into it.
All right. From Corey Richmond, do you think there's any interest or buzz for the return of NWA to YouTube on Tuesday with NWA Shockwave this week?
I have heard zero buzz, unfortunately. I really want it to work. I think they're doing a great job, and I think they've created something very niche. But I've heard no reaction. But again, you know what? It's one of those things that they're going to air it. It's going to get posted on Reddit, and then it's going to get, you know, 100,000 views, and they're going to say, wow, this was pretty successful, the return of it. So in the following week, we'll have that buzz again. I'm not too concerned with that. I think they're another one that suffered from this, and they could definitely return because their cost, their overhead is so little compared to other groups.
Okay. From Mr. Gonzo himself.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be the big reveal on NXT in the Shia Lee storyline? Is it going to be Miko Satomura?
I think it might be Miko. Okay. I don't know, though, but it makes sense if it's Miko.
I'll go with you on that one.
Yeah. Lewis, you want to go to Lewis's question?
Yeah. So it's kind of like a two-parter. So
yeah.
At what point does WWE begin to seriously worry about the loss of revenue generated at the gate? And do they have a real plan to make up for the Raw, SmackDown, NXT missed show revenue?
Yes. So they're going to have to really rely on good merch to make up some of this. That's why a lot of their from what I'm seeing. Also, you gotta, here's the other thing a lot of people are not talking about. There's a major corporate restructure at that company. Major, major corporate restructure. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the outlook is going to be, because Barrios was there for a while. Michelle Wilson was there for a long time. And they played a key part into strategizing how this works. Them being out kind of changes how the philosophy of the company goes. Obviously, it's still Vince's company, but they played a major part. A lot of the stuff that you saw business-wise had to do with them. So they're going to heavily rely on that, and less shows with less overhead. I think we saw how successful they were financially because of the pandemic, because their overhead on travel was eliminated, totally eliminated.
Okay.
So when you cut that big chunk out, you're saving so much money. And I think they've realized that you don't need this travel schedule. You're losing money. You're hindering your profits because of all the travel that you need to commit to. So I think their answer is going to be way less house shows and make the house shows into blockbuster events. You know, name everything something. Showdown in L.A. You know,
they have Starcade already.
They have Starcade. They could just name, you know, do these off shows as the house show and do them on Saturdays. You know, non-pay-per-view weeks. Do it that way. So you're adding a couple shows every week. Not bad.
Yeah. I think, and you know what? Also, there's kind of like an interesting underlying point that nobody really has talked about. I mean, like, some people have, but it's all about the money for WWE because it's a business, clearly, right? But nobody's ever talking it. Like, everybody's like, oh, we have to recoup. We have to recoup. We have to recoup. Guess what? These dudes, they are getting the rest that they need, right? And if they go back to that hardcore travel schedule, everybody's going to be more prone to injury. Is there a statistic that shows WWE injuries during a full-time schedule compared to now? Because I feel like it's going to be apples and oranges, right?
You know what? I would love that. I would love to find that. I'm sure I could dig and see, like, yearly injuries and see what it is.
Yeah, because remember, like, usually once a year, there's that injury boom that takes people out for weeks at a time. And you know what? Now it's very few and far between. I think the last major injury, you had Edge, which was right when the pandemic started, pretty much. And you had Killer Cross.
Yeah. But you know what, though? Also, you have to look at it this way. Wrestling once a week is not good for you. You actually tend to get injured a little more because your body is not actively loosened. So I'm very curious to see. You know what? I could ask. I could rather than speculating, I could ask somebody and they could probably tell me very easily.
Okay. Yeah. Who would you rather be wooed by? Val Venus, Sexual Chocolate, or Goldust?
Oh, Goldust. I want to be wooed Sexual by Chocolate. Goldust. Oh yeah?
Yeah.
I want to go
look
Goldust.
At that smile.
I don't okay, I want man. Nothing to do with Val Venus.
No.
Oh, nothing to do
weed.
With him.
He's gonna blow weed onto you, Dick Tip.
Like that.
let's see. What are the odds of seeing the Donald in a WWE ring during his post presidency?
Zero chance.
No, he's gonna move to a house in the mountains.
That's it. He's gonna grow a beard like LBJ and call it a day.
That's it. Do you think EC3 matters? This is from Corey. Do you think EC3 matters? Not to be a jerk, but did his return to Impact do anything, and his Ring of Honor debut seems to have gone unnoticed?
Yeah, because the where we are, you know, yeah. the way that TV's been positioned for Ring of Honor and Impact, and the lack of an audience and lack of people talking about it, I don't think it worked. But you know, we'll see what happens next week, next year.
You want to do one more?
One more.
If Rock, this is from Crown Wolf, if Rock can't make it to Mania because of filming, who does Roman face? That's a good question.
I would go Brock Lesnar.
Ooh, I like that. All right, Brock, Daniel Bryan. I think you can make like a really big, big match and kind of almost redo the Yes Movement, where Daniel Bryan just keeps getting beat and beat and beat by the family or the tribe or whatever.
The whole family?
The whole family. The family.
Does a Rock come out and do a bonsai drop? Because that's all I want to see him do.
Uh, I would love that. That would be, he does weigh quads. 1,000 pounds, though.
Yeah. He does weigh 1,000 pounds with his giant quads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I you know what, Daniel Bryan, I'm going to go with that. I think that's a phenomenal pick.
That would be a great match, too.
Mm-hmm. Very good match.
Cool.
And Cena, where's Cena?
Maybe John Cena. Yo,
who's Cena facing?
You were supposed to be the head of the table. I'm the head of the table. I am the table.
I am the. That's, you can't see it. Perfect. All right, guys, that's it for this week. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. This was a lot of fun. We're back on Thursday?
Yeah, let's do Thursday, baby.
We're back on, no, Tuesday. Can we do Tuesday?
Tuesday morning?
Actually,
yeah.
You know what? Let me, sorry.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. Let me figure it out, because everything has changed.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. Guys, if you haven't noticed, we've kind of been like upsy-downsy with the shows just because of a lot of stuff that's going on. But we will be back next week at some point.
Yeah. All right. Excellent, guys. We'll see y'all next time. Take care.
All right, guys.